Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel where you're at, that would be a good place to start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very, very much for blessing us with a Sabbath each and every week, and will do so throughout all eternity. A wonderful day to gather with the brethren and to be in your presence. Although we can be in your presence every day of the week, we know, but this day we keep holy to acknowledge you as our Creator. That's why you rested too. Creation was done. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us with an understanding there and giving us many opportunities to share our faith with others so that they too can come into the peace and rest of Jesus, the Sabbath itself. And no, Jesus is not our Sabbath. We know that too. He is our Savior. Thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance, everyone on the radio and on the phone. And thank you again, Father, for answering my prayer so quickly in regards to that problem with WTPR. And thank you also for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list with answered prayer and all those that are here in the room that are putting in prayer requests in the room. And thank you for clearing up the signal because it seems we're being choppy in certain areas of the country. And but it seems really good here, so I really don't know what's going on there. But thank you for letting us gather here and have a changing of the showbread. And keeping a hedge of angels all about us as individuals and as your son's bride. And if we are so worthy, Father, thank you in advance for the latter rain. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I want to welcome all the people that are visiting. I'm not going to name all the names. There's an awful lot of you there. And everybody on the radio. We got 8 families so far on the radio. I don't know how many are on the phone, of course. That comes later when that emails me. But we are still in the sanctuary study, and we will be there probably at least another year. Very exciting, to say the least. this week we're going to be looking at the foundations of the city of heaven. New Jerusalem, and as we're soon going to see in Revelation, there are actually 12 gates and 12 foundations, wherein the same 12 stones are used in the foundation, but in a different order, of course. And some names are missing from the Old Testament, because as I'm going to share later on today in the sermon about the 144,000, there's a reason some of the names are replaced. And you'll also see what Revelation 21:12 says, about the, you know, the 12 gates and the gates and the 12 angels, or wait, the 12 gates and at the 12 and at the gates 12 angels and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And then in Revelation 21:14 it says the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so not only are the stones in the breastplate, and this is what I love about the sanctuary study, and or the scripture itself, because of the way things just intertwine like that. I mean, it's just amazing how we see these things. But and even in life itself, or nature for that matter. But not only are the stones and the breastplate used in the 12 foundations of heaven, they also represent the 12 apostles. In other words, we see God calling out to his people from the old all the way to the New Testament in all of this. And the forever open gates of pearl declare that the obedient people of God have eternal access to the city any day of the week when we get home. But for sure, on the seventh day, we're all going to be there. You know, going out and romping and frolicking all over the place in the universe, and then we're always home on the Sabbath day because, oh, just to be in his presence, that close. I mean, we're going to be in his presence no matter where we're at, just like down here. But to be in the city, uh-huh. And so when we look at the breastplate, as we have the last two Sabbaths, we see the stones representing the obedient people of God. And then the, you know, the Urim and then the Thummim, which was close to the heart of the high priest. We discussed that last week too, I think. It's there to representing God's will for his people. We then also see Satan being mentioned in Garden of Eden as per the prophet Ezekiel, who tried to destroy God's plans and his people. And so, I mean, he's also mentioned in Genesis, too, as being there. And so we see everything is in its order just as it should be. And what I mean is we see the creation of man. We see Satan mess things up, as expected. And we see the promise of salvation offered unto man so as to defeat Satan's plans. Then we see the will of God to keep us on the path to salvation, which the yes and no guidance, the Urim and the Thummim of old. But now we get that yes and no guidance by daily Bible study and prayer all throughout our lives. And then the final destination, of course, being heaven, wherein the stones of the breastplate are used in the 12 foundations of the city, further locking down the connection between the sanctuary and salvation itself. But now notice this. In Revelation 7, and this is amazing when I think about this in more than one way, and I'll explain this in a minute, because as I was studying this, and then as I was writing the sermon, it was like, wow, I did not expect that. But it says, Revelation 7, verses 4 to 8, it says this. And thank you, Brother Warren, for locking the room down. And thank you, Brother Eli, for, I'm sorry. Yeah, Eli is putting in the sermon notes now. I guess Sean is away or busy. Because Sean usually does it every week. Oh, there he is. So thank you, Sean. I don't know why it says Eli. It's on and off. Okay, anyway. So Revelation 7, verses 4 to 8 says this. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And by the way, and this is what I noticed. This was amazing. I didn't plan this. I didn't plan this at all. I never do. This is like when Craig and I, like he'll do a sermon, and like next week he's going to be preaching if the Lord allows. And but the study a lot of times will coincide with what he's saying or something that Eli or Sean or somebody else is doing out at the 5 o'clock. Everything just intertwines. Well, I didn't plan any of this. The sermon I have been given from the Lord was given to me last Sabbath, as I like to work on sermons on Sabbath day, and I'm out there in the midday prayer, and he just gave it to me, right? And when I was doing my own studies, he was actually answering the age-old questions so many have had, wherein they assume the 144,000 will be only of blood-born Jews. And I also saw the answer in the sermon regarding whether or not the number of 144,000 is literal or not. And so I praise the Lord for that sermon as I do all my sermons because they come from him, because it coincides perfectly with today's sanctuary study. Because as many of you know, I do these studies months in advance. This study I did probably like 2-3 months ago, because I am literally 47 pages of notes ahead of myself, and I'm always that way. Just in case I have a busy week or like something happens and I can't do the studies. I always do my Bible study, my regular studies, but I sometimes something happens where I can't do the church study. And so I make sure I have months in advance done. And so I have no clue each Sabbath as to which one I'm going to be sharing on the Sabbath day until Friday morning when I double-check my notes for the study. Because I proofread it, because I do a lot of typos. And so, because I'm flying too fast, I'm just throwing the notes around. And then he gives me additional information. I love that about him, because I'll study it one time, I'll study it a second time, and then when a lot of times that's where it ends, or when I do the proofread, I'm studying again, and then more information comes. And so when I double-check the notes, by then the Sabbath sermon and all its notes have already been posted. As a matter of fact, they're on the site by Thursday. The notes for the sermon are always on the site by Thursday. Or actually, I'm done on Thursday. I do the upload Friday morning, because I do uploads on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays now. And so it's done on Thursday. And so I praise the Lord for how he times things like this. I mean, he does this so often with us But I never go try to praising his name for doing it like that, because like I said about, you know, when Sean does something or Eli does something or Craig does something or anybody else that steps up and hits the pulpit, it always coincides with something else that we have already been moved to do. But getting back, did you notice anything strange about those names on the foundation of New Jerusalem? The original names of the 12 tribes, as they are listed in the Word of God, are as follows. They are Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. That's the order. In the list of the tribes given in Revelation 7, wherein those names are written on the gates of New Jerusalem, we see that Revelation 21:12, that these are the names of the, it says these are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. But as I will go into more detail later in the sermon, you're going to notice that Ephraim and Dan are missing from the names of those gates. Reason being is what Hosea said in chapter 4, verse 17. It says, Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. And in Genesis 49, 17, it says that Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heel, so that his rider shall fall backward. So, but look again, and you'll see that Joseph took the place of Ephraim because of his idols. And just so you know, anyone who is joined to his idols of silver, gold, alcohol, tobacco, drugs, coffee, jewelry, clothing, whatever the case may be, you know, cars, it could be anything. It doesn't matter. If it's an idol, it's an idol. They will also be removed from the book of life. And like Ephraim, they're going to be left alone without salvation. And Dan, the backbiter, who was replaced by the firstborn son of Joseph, which is Manasseh, Dan represents all those that do as he did throughout time, you know, from the book of Genesis to the last book of the Bible, which speaks of today's world. Many have embraced the spirit of Dan in a big way. And hence the reason for over 44. So everybody's breaking up. Because it sounds good on this end. It's coming through. I can hear the echo fine on Fran. We've got 15 families on the radio. We haven't broken a record there yet, but I'm at 32 kilobits on the radio. We should be fine with the bandwidth. So the lag is here and there. Well, yeah, if you're using a hotspot, you're definitely going to get major lag, I know. Okay. All right, so everybody's got lag. Well, I don't know if Fran's got it because I can hear myself echo. Yeah, she said she doesn't have it. Oh, Fran had lag when she was doing it, too. Yeah. I remember that. Oh, boy. I can reboot the router, but that'll knock absolutely everybody out when we do something like that. But let me just text something really quick because we had storms in the area recently. This might cause some lag when I'm doing this. I'm going to do a speed test real quick on the up and down. And we'll just see where it's at. Okay, we're good there. We're at 27, even though I'm only paying for 10. So let me see where it's going to end. Looks like it's going to end between 23.4, and that's to be expected because there's a lot of people in the room and there's a ton of people on the radio. The upload is the problem. Okay, that's the problem. It's on my end then. The upload's at T1 speed. It ended at 2.4. That ain't good. That ain't good at all. That is going to cause problems for the church service. But the recording that I'm doing now is going to be rock solid. And so for those that are going to be listening next week, so let me just throw another test out there because sometimes that gets the cobwebs out, but ordinarily no. But you got to go through the down first. The download's good. So I can give them a call real quick between when the songs are going. And tell them to do something. Okay, it went up to 4. Looks like it's going to stop at 2.5. Now it's back down to 1. Oh, now it's at 0.7. So it ended at 1.7. So that is not good. All right. They can still understand me? Okay, that's good. That's a good idea. one of the brothers just suggested we pray. If you can get on your knees real quick, let's do that. Because these guys at where I get the bandwidth, they might not know there's an issue because the download's good. So, well, if you got no sound, turn your mic on and off. So, if you can kneel, please do so. Just tell Dwayne to turn his mic on and off. Or turn the mic, you know, click on my mic. But anyway, if you can please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, the enemy is very apparently trying to stop this this study and this sermon because it's all about the 144,000 and all that. And so, Father, please, as we have seen you do so many times before, with everything from tornadoes and getting people off the deathbeds, please put your hand upon this and clean this whole thing up so that the lag goes away to the point where everybody has no problem understanding what's being said. And we thank you for doing so. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and King. Amen. Brother Arnold, you might want to turn off your camera. That will cause a major issue. Turn off your camera. Thank you. Because that'll really drag a lot of bandwidth out of the server. Thank you. And so how's it now, everybody? Any better? We still got, you know, well over 50 people, families in here, and then the radio went down to 12. So it's much, oh, praise the Lord. Okay, thank you for, it's much better on Dwayne's end, so, or somebody's end that just PM'd me. I think it was Dwayne. Okay, good. All right, so continuing. Let me turn this fan up. All right. We lost a bunch of, oh, no, we didn't. Well, we lost a few people that were visiting. Some of you might have to leave the room and come back in because I'm running through the internet to get to my wife's computer in the other room. I'm not using intranet, I'm using internet. And so the echo that comes, that's why I got to have the echo. That echo is coming through fine, which means the internet here, except for that upload thing, is really, really bad. But let me just throw another test out real quick. The download looks good. Okay, let's say, oh, it's 30. The download's up at 30. Ended at 26.3, and the upload is, yeah, it's still down there. But as long as it works, that's okay. I will give them a call when the music's going. So, not we could do about that. That's them. That's their problem. That's not us, you know, because that's, you know, and for what I pay for this, they usually fix it. It's an emergency. You can call on Sabbath. That's not a problem. It's a church service. Seriously. Okay, so getting back, as I was saying, you know, from the book of Genesis all the way to the, you know, Revelation, many people have embraced this backbiting spirit that Dan has, and that's why Dan is not listed in the tribes that you see on the foundation or the gates, or the foundations, or is it the gates? I think it's the gates. I'm getting confused here now. But, and this is the reason, by the way, that we see over 44,000 denominations spilling from Rome to become the daughters of that prophesied harlot the world over. It's all backbiting. It's all twisting. It's just all ridiculous is all it really is. It's just Satan. That's where he's going to be a threat the most. I mean, think about it. Muslims, what do they got? Two or three sects, you know, S-E-C-T-S sects. They got two or three of them. Buddhas are Buddhists, one. I mean, they get different leaders, just like Christians have different pastors and stuff, you know. And then Satanists, well, they just got one. But Christians, 44,000. So you kind of know where the threat is, right? I mean, that's overwhelmingly obvious. You know, being in the end times, it makes, if it wasn't for so much sadness in the heart, you would laugh out loud when someone walks up and says they're an atheist in the last days. I mean, just look at it, how the attack upon all the denominations. You know, there's more than 44,000 different so-called Protestant denominations that spun off from Rome, and they're all just jumping back into Rome's arms, by the way, including the SDA Church. And they did that decades ago. That's one of the reasons they're, the 11th hour's come and the 9th hour. The 11th hour people are going to finish the job, like it says in Revelation 12:17, the remnant of the seed are going to finish it. And so as a church family, by the way, we have seen many with the heart of Dan in how they backbite the obedient people of God simply because we want to walk in the obedience to the Lord. I mean, they accuse us of being everything from legalistic to unloving towards them simply because we love the Lord first. And that's what gets a lot. I've always noticed that on the street, on YouTube, on any kind of blog, or a bulletin board that I used to use, or anywhere that you do this work. When you have the truth, and they know it's the truth, and they can't refute the truth, that upsets them, because their comfort zone is the lie, and they don't want their comfort zone to get rocked up. It's just like a lot of people, myself included. When I first started looking into Christianity as a young man, I thought, well. There's a lot of things I can't do as a Christian. I can't smoke, can't drink, can't do this, can't do that. And it wasn't until I found Christ that I realized I don't want to do those things. And another thing came to mind back 33 some odd years ago, that when I found Christ, I can do this as a Christian. I can do that as a Christian. But I couldn't do those things unless I was a Christian, like getting your prayers answered or seeing understanding scripture or having peace in a crazy trial. Some of the things that we've gone through. So and since when speaking of the obedient bride in Revelation, it says in Revelation 14:4 that these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb, of course, right? And since we know that women in prophecy are churches, we are not lured off the path of truth by the apostate churches of the world. We can only follow Jesus because he is the husbandman of his bride. And to walk away from him, to join hands with others is to literally commit spiritual adultery. And his bride, which is depicted as a perfect virgin, simply ain't going to be doing that. I mean, what a sobering and solemn warning this should be to anyone who harbors a spirit of criticism or backbiting in any form towards those that strive to be perfect followers of Jesus Christ. And just so you know, we too need to clean up our thoughts, and especially our tongues, if we are ever to gain that perfection. When they slander us, declare you forgive them with a smile. Such actions can go a long way towards watering the seeds they may have in their hearts towards accepting Jesus as Savior. And notice doesn't mean we should stop warning them, or any people for that matter, because open sin is open sin. And those of us that claim to be leaders in the church, you don't even have to be leaders in the church. You're supposed to go forward and warn people of certain things. I mean, what I mean, if you look at Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 11, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us." Okay, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, in righteousness, and truth. And now check this out. This is how it ends. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So you have a duty. See, people get in our faces when we do. I mean, look at how they get in the face of John the Baptist, the apostles, and Christ our Lord. You know, when a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, or a priest declares heresy that endangers the souls of millions, it is our God-given duty to present real truth unto them so as to bring them into the fold. John the Baptist, Peter, and even Jesus Christ himself openly rebuked the leaders in the church that taught heresy. But they did so with love in their hearts, so that those looking on would see no hatred was present at all. You could even see the tears in Christ's eyes when he was calling them hypocrites. I mean, all too often, people like to shout back their ideas as to what they think the Bible says. But it's not written. Was it not written in Proverbs 15, verse 1? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Why don't we, let me see if I probably should stop here. Because I don't know if you guys can hear me good. I notice the numbers keep going up and down. We're down to 10 families on the radio. So let me stop here.